Hari
Page 54. The intelligent class in society, therefore, must speak on behalf of the body, as well as accept foodstuff to satisfy the hunger of the body. The hunger of the Lord is to accept the fruits of sacrifice. The brahmanas of the intelligent class must be very expert in performing such sacrifices, and the subordinate classes must join in such sacrifices. To speak for the Supreme Lord means to glorify the Lord by means of propagating the knowledge of the Lord as it is, broadcasting the factual nature of the Lord and the factual position of all other parts of the whole body. Right, so factual means you have to have what it is, so that will be factual, but also then practical how you will apply it. So you get both, right? So that means the factual... in some cases it's nice, some cases it's not nice. But then how you apply it, that's where then it becomes a little more palatable. Yes. Right. The Brahmana is therefore required to know the Vedas, or the ultimate source of knowledge. Veda means knowledge, and Anta means the end of it. According to Bhagavad Gita, the Lord is the source of everything. Aham Sarvasya Prabhava. Bhagavad Gita 10.8. And thus, the end of all knowledge, Vedanta, is to know the Lord, to know our relationship with Him, and to act according to that relationship only. Because right? Because the thing is if you want to develop the relationship with the Lord, it has to be exclusive. Right? So that means, since we have, it's natural that if we're going to have social interactions in that, we have to deal with others. Right? So how do you have an exclusive relationship with the Lord and still be able to function, you know, within society, right? It means that, so the principle is since the Lord is everything, you see everything in connection with the Lord, then you're having an exclusive relationship with the Lord, even though you're dealing with everybody.
Yes.
Yeah. Is that make sense? So that's the only one that you can do that with. Mm-hmm. You know, everything else is... exclusive means only that person. It cuts out all the relationship. But Krishna, by having exclusive with Him, it means it actually includes all relationships. Because if it's exclusive, means you always see it in relationship to Him.
Right.
Yes?
If we have a relationship with devotees, we start from there and going up to Krishna?
You start however it works. You know, it's just like... Do you get the ingredients and put them on the counter and then, you know, put the pot on the fire? Or do you put the pot on the fire and run around and look for the ingredients? Yeah, but I say both work. But, you know, so better is you start with the Lord, but starting anywhere works. As long as you get all these things. In other words, if you go into the kitchen, you don't know what to do. But if you put the pot on the fire, then there's a sense of urgency. And then you start looking for things, you know, what's going to go in, right? So whatever will start the process works. Does that make sense? And then with time, you'll see, like you said, it's easier to get the ingredients, have everything there, then start the cooking peacefully. So we start with Krishna and then peacefully add everybody rather than start wherever we start. And then there's the anxieties about that, and then connecting to Krishna, is there any loss, is this, or how? And then, you know, so as we connect things to Krishna, then we'll naturally see how that works. And then that'll become easier and easier to expand that vision. Does that make sense? So that's what's so nice about the process. It doesn't depend upon, it's not dependent upon the technique. But the technique is what those who are good at it use. You know what I'm saying? But it's starting from Krishna, so then the technique just becomes natural. Right? Rather than it stands on its own. You know what I'm saying? It's just like the cook, he has things in the frying pan, right? And then to stir them, you can, you have the properly shaped frying pan, there's a way to just flip it. You know, so it doesn't break the items. At the same time, you don't have to use anything, right? But it's not that, it's about the technique, so they just get into different preparations just based on which ones you can flip. You understand? It's just in cooking, that comes up, that technique comes up, other technique comes up. You know what I'm saying? You can put things in the pot, right? And there's layers of it, but you want to mix it. But if you mix it, you can break it. So you take the handles of the pot, and there's a way of flipping it, that it slowly, everything turns, right? So, but it's not that you only make a menu that's based on preparations that you can do that with. Does that make sense? So, but it's not that people don't have, you know, some proclivities, but it's the point is it's not about the technique, it's about the endeavor that uses technique. Does that make sense? Just like we're studying the philosophy, and all these technical points, but it's not about the technical points, it's about pure devotional service, and these are the different approaches that one can use. Is that? Yes. Okay. Yeah, so Krishna, Veda means knowledge, and Anta is the end of it, so the knowledge comes from Krishna, so he's the end of knowledge, so Vedanta actually means about Krishna. Right? Mimamsa, Karma Mimamsa is about karma. Because it's purva mimamsa, it's not uttara. Right? You know, yoga is about, those kind of connecting with the Lord for your own purpose. Yashanki is breaking down the analyzing the world so that you can control it the way you want, or seeing it by atoms the way you want, or through logic. But it's not actually about, it means you're using knowledge, but it's not about the source of that knowledge. Because they'll all accept there's a Supreme controlling all this, but it's actually they never take the knowledge back to the Supreme. Really. So Vedanta means you're taking it back to the Supreme. That's why it's superior to the other schools. Right?
So all other schools are basically Shakti worship.
That means all of them ultimately are trying to get to Brahman, but it's not about Brahman.
It's about me and Brahman.
Yeah. So then they're dealing with Shakti. I mean, they understand the soul and all that. So they're not material from that sense, where matter has produced the soul.
No.
You know. No. But at the same time, is then you do have the problem. Is then, you know, what is if you're going back to that, then the recognition of the soul and the position of the soul. So if you're merged in Pradhan. But then there's somehow or another there's an identity, and how does that kind of work? You know,
yes. Exactly.
You know, it's like you're peacefully sitting in this vast, like swimming pool of, let's say, custard or something, and then one day you wonder, well, you know, what is me and what is this custard? And then the whole thing starts to, you know, happen and all that. And then you're in the material world. And then when you figure out, no, it's just, you know, the custard, you know, is peaceful when everything's that. And then back to the swimming.
Then you're back in the custard.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, it's they have their moments, but there is some weaknesses.
Distance between those moments.
Yeah. So
mind the gap.
So Vedanta is then you're actually dealing more with the nature of Brahman.
Yes.
But then the complete form, then you're dealing with also Parma and Bhagavan. So the complete understanding of God, the whole understanding, not just the partial understanding.
Yes.
Does that make sense? And thus the end of all knowledge, Vedanta, is to know the Lord, to know a relationship with Him, to act according to that relationship only. The parts of the body are related to the body. Similarly, the living being must know his relationship with the Lord, because we're part of the Lord. So we know the Lord, we know where we fit, we know where everybody else fits. It's not a problem that one hand has friendship with the other hand, right? You know, so like that. But but how do you know that they're a hand? And how do you know that you're a hand? How do you know that you're a good match?
Shake hands.
No, but in context of this. The hand knows its relationship with the body and knows the other hand's relationship with the body. So therefore, that's why it says relationship to according to that relationship only means with the Lord.
Yeah.
The human being is specially meant for this purpose, namely to know the factual relationship of every living being with the Lord. Right? Dogs, that's not why someone took birth as a dog. It's not to know the ultimate, relationship of everyone in the Lord. Right? It's to know that, this area here is mine, and if you come, I'll bark. Without knowing this relationship, the human life is spoiled. The intelligent class of men, the Brahmanas, are therefore especially responsible for broadcasting this knowledge of our relationship with the Lord and leading the general mass of people to the right path. That's the position of the intellect. That's what it's for. To lead people off the path, that's not glorious. It lacks something. The administrative class is meant for protecting the living beings so that they can serve this purpose, right? Because if everybody's going to be absorbed in this, you have to have a structure that can protect everyone, right? Therefore, the governance is there just for the protection, not for something else, right? And now to perform that, it requires money, therefore taxing and other things like that. But its only purpose is to protect so that people can be God conscious. The mercantile class is meant for producing food grains and distributing them to the complete human society so that the whole population is given a chance to live comfortably and discharge the duties of human life. Right? So this is where they're trying to collect everything from everybody else and making people uncomfortable. That's not their duties, right? Just like to be in control and not protect is not the duty of the Kshatriya. So to generate funds and not distribute, then that's also not the thing. So what does that mean? If we're expecting the mercantile class to distribute, what does that mean?
They have more than enough.
They have tons. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So this idea why they're making so much. No, the more they make, the more there is to distribute. So that's the whole point. So that inherent, desire to make more is not a problem as long as it's being distributed. So you can make as much as you can, but it needs to be distributed. Right? So therefore, you have what you need and you give in charity, they're paying their taxes, they're taking care of their dependents, all these things are being done very nicely. So that means what wealth they have is distributed to amongst all the orders. Right? Or they help each other, like in, get where it was, I think it was in Rajasthan. One person from the business community there was saying that previously in the town, if somebody new came to the town, everybody in the village or the town would give one brick. Mm. Right? How much does one brick cost you? Mm. Nothing. One brick. But now, everybody in the village gives a brick, you have a house. That's it. It cost everybody nothing, and now you have a house. So that's distributing. That's considering all these things. So they're small, but they all add up. So that's the. That's what Arjuna was meaning by the social. All these good social welfare things will break down It means these things, but they're only useful because they're supporting human society, which is aimed at self-realization. That's what Arjuna missed. That's why Krishna called him a fool.
Yeah.
Not that these welfare things aren't great. They're fabulous. But they're only fabulous because they encourage human life so that they can be engaged in spiritual life. But if it's only encouraging human life so they can act like, you know, polished cats and dogs, not so special, right? You know, you want to do this, open a pet shop. You know, like that. Be nice to all the animals. Right? The mercantile class is also required to give protection to the cows in order to get sufficient milk and milk products. Right? So milk and milk products is the point. You're trying to get that in order to get sufficient. So it's not that cows aren't being protected, we don't take milk.
Hmm.
No, if cows aren't being protected, make it happen.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, it's just like, let's say that the child is being mistreated by his parents, right? Parents are supposed to take care of the child, but he's being mistreated. Therefore, no one wants to support this mistreatment, right?
Yes.
So therefore, our school takes a strong stand to not take any children that are coming from families where the parents abuse them. Right? And definitely we wouldn't want to give a job to them because then we're supporting parents producing children that are going to come out in the world. When we show them we're not giving them a place in society, then they'll think twice about abusing their children.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Doesn't that make sense?
Makes sense.
Makes no sense. So then why is it if cows are being abused, you don't take milk? Because how is that supporting cows? You're not doing anything. You're absolutely doing nothing. You understand? You do something. Do something. If you care about the cow, do something.
Maybe it's because they're not taking milk.
Yeah, then you don't have to find a brain tissue, so you can't understand the point. Yeah, okay. Makes sense. The vicious circle. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. Do something. You know, support those that do, but then to support those that do means work. I mean, I have to spend weeks or months trying to find, dairy farmers who are doing this right, and they're not right just downstairs in the little grocery store. I have to make big arrangements. I have to work out with other people, create a co-op, bring things together. Work. Who wants work, right? So.
What will my vegan friends say?
Yes, that's there, yes. Yeah, because you wouldn't want to drink milk. Right? It's about not drinking milk, not about protecting the cow, right? Okay. Okay, and it says, in order to get sufficient milk and milk products, which alone can give the proper health and intelligence to maintain a civilization perfectly meant for knowledge of the ultimate truth. In other words, milk is important. So if it's not coming in a good way, you use it anyway, because at least then you get the intelligence to be able to function in this way. Right? And then from there, you'll use that finer intelligence to work out how to protect the cow. Right? At least that's it. And the labor class, who are neither intelligent nor powerful, can help by physical services to the higher classes, and thus be benefited by their cooperation. Right? So neither intelligent nor powerful. So intelligent means what?
Differentiating between matter and spirit.
Yes, that's the whole thing. Is that it doesn't mean that they're stupid. It means that they're not differentiating between matter and spirit. That's why less intelligent. They get absorbed in just the family and day-to-day. That's why the term is called common people. It's just ordinary. You just get absorbed in that. And not powerful. What's power? What does power come from?
Influence.
Influence. But I'm saying, where does it ultimately come from?
Krishna.
And what's in between? What's the medium we use? Okay.
Celibacy
is there, but what is that? What does that mean? What does celibacy mean?
Self-control.
Mm-hmm. Right? So then that means, and why would you be doing self-control?
It's higher purpose.
It's higher purpose, and why would you Why would you be doing it? What is defining it?
Sacrifice.
Okay. What defines sacrifice?
Shastra.
Shastra. Why would you be following Shastra?
Because of the Lord.
Because of the Lord, but what is your position in it?
Dharma.
Dharma means it's your duty. Mm-hmm. So in other words, following your duties, that's the austerity. So in other words, austerity is going to generate power. Right? Hiranyakashipu wants to get control of the universe. What does he do?
Austerity.
Right? Yeah. He didn't go talk to his lawyer.
No.
No. Okay. He went out and did austerity. Yeah, you understand? So that's the whole thing, is austerity. So the common person is not known for being austere, not voluntarily. Right? Riding on a bus 2 hours to work and back, that's austere, but it's not voluntary.
No.
You understand? So that's the whole thing, is that they're not powerful because of that lack. Right? So that means as devotees, then they're intelligent and powerful. But what's the but if you're going to have a social structure, a vocational structure, where do you situate yourself as a what's the term Prabhupada used here? The labor class. How do you situate yourself?
As a servant.
As a servant, right? Because then it works. Because it means if everybody's saying what to do, nothing gets done.
Yes.
Right. Saying it. American, too many chiefs, not enough Indians, right? Yeah. Yeah. Because otherwise, nothing gets done, you know? Or you have the other, you know, too many cooks spoil the broth, you know, like that. They all get around, everybody's got something to say. So the point is somebody has to do it. So that's the point, is it doesn't change the social position, but it just means that everybody now is seeing this way. Right, but the point is why did it mention it here? What would that infer if it's mentioned about this element of less intelligent and nor powerful? But it didn't mention about the other three. So what does that mean? The other should be doing that. Now, there's a real Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya has that knowledge and is performing their duties. Then if the common person does, that's his glory. And if he doesn't, you can't really complain, because that's what it means to be common. Does that make sense? Because that's the whole point. Let's say you have a whole room full of Brahmins, and I come in and I say, take one position, you know, and emotionally present it. Okay, nice. I've made a position, I've made a stand. What are the Brahmins going to say?
Shastra.
Shastra is going to be asked that. Kshatriyas are going to say the same thing, but it has to be practically applicable. Right? Okay, you're saying this, but then when we go to apply it, this will happen, so how is that practical? Okay? The Vaishyas, you come up with that also. Okay, great. Should be that they say it's based on Shastra. Good, if they do. But the point is what's the bottom line? Yeah, what's below the bottom line? It should be black, not red. Right? You know, like that. You know, as long as it's black, good. If it's red, problem. Okay. Now, with the Shudras, right, or the common person, I come in and I make a strong stand, you know, then maybe this and that, but I can just keep presenting it until the whole crowd is going, yes.
Right?
Right? Yeah. But where was the Shastra? Where was it? This is what it means.
Yes.
Not less intelligent and not powerful.
This seems to happen often.
Yes. If you study history, you'll notice that it's a very common, like that.
Yes.
You know, that's the one thing is you notice these really powerful leaders are the good speakers. You know, the good speakers. Yeah. Okay. Therefore, the universe is a complete unit in relation with the Lord. That was the whole point. Everything's relation with the Lord. Because you can say, no, but why are you saying this about Shuddha? It says, what are legs supposed to do?
Mm.
You know, it's like the legs got the brains.
Think so.
Just thinking. Shakira thinks so. Yeah. Okay. So, okay. And without this relationship, okay. Without this relation with the Lord, the whole human society is disturbed and is without any peace and prosperity. Right? So that's the whole point. So you see it in relation, it's the Lord's legs or Lord's feet. It's the Lord's, you know, middle portion of the body. It's the Lord's arms, the Lord's head.
Yes.
So what's the problem? Mm-hmm. Everything has, you know, you're saying, oh no, but you know, the feet should be able to do what the head does.
That's...
Go ahead, sit down and, you know, how you say, smear your burger into the bottom of your foot, you know, see what happens.
Burger.
You know, is it going to work?
No. I don't think so.
No. Yeah, unless you're in the Taekwondo, then they won't really work for, you know, other protections also. But how many people are on horses? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and does the food process, you know, I mean, okay, you have a big vat, fill it full of grapes, you get in there with your feet, right?
Yes.
You know, so that means it's processing the grapes,
yes?
Okay. But it still can't take it much beyond, it can help, but it can't actually do the work, right?
Yes.
So that makes sense. The stomach has to do the work,
yes.
So that's the difficulties. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the point of why, if you exclusively see it to the Lord and don't stop in between in some so-called, you know, aspect of sub-religion, because religion means you have to perform your duty in relationship to the Lord, whether you recognize it or not, you still have to do your duty, right?
Yes.
The point of society is to do it in connection with the Lord. Now, the best is to know that. If you don't know that, still you should do your duty. Right? You know, just like, should the garbage in the house, right? You know, in the kitchen, there's the sink, and then there's under the sink, there's those little doors, and inside those doors, there's a little box, and in the box, there's a plastic bag, and in the plastic bag, there's all kinds of stuff.
Yes.
Okay. Now, should that be regularly removed from the house?
Yes.
Okay. Now, does the 8-year-old kid really understand why?
No.
No.
No. But should he do it anyway?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's the whole point, is that even if we don't understand the Vedic system, it should be followed anyway because it's connected with the Lord. And by proper association, then you'll understand. Because if we go for, until I understand, I won't follow, nice, as long as you're smart enough. And as long as you actually want to know. But if you don't want to know, you can't teach them. You can't teach somebody something they don't want to know.
So that's how we protect our anattas.
Yes, it's just one follows the duties as is given by the acharyas. That's the point. They do it, then that's good enough for us. It means we can give explanations, but just because they do it, it's good enough for us. You know. Otherwise, it's like all my compatriots in my locale, they do it like this, and so that's good enough for people.
Yeah.
So why not, you know, we identify with these higher personalities, despite the particular geographic, designation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is confirmed in the Vedas. Brahmano syamukam asid bahu rajanya kritaha. That's the Purusha Shukta. Yeah. Brahmadev then explains the seven words. So Brahmano syamukam asid, the Brahmins have come from the face, right? Bahu Rajanya Kritaha, the Bahu, the arms, the Kshatyas. Uru Tarasya Yad Vaishaha, the Vaishas come from the middle. Uru Tarasya Yad Vaishaha. Can't remember the rest of it.
Oh.
But Pado,
okay.
Uru is thighs.
Yeah.
Uru Tarasya Yad Vaishaha. Padbyagam. Yeah, padbyagam shudro ajayata. So from the feet come the shudras. Like that. So that's the universal form. This is primary creation. We're not even talking secondary here. This is before Brahma's even appeared. It's already been established.
Yeah.
Like Brahmadev then explains the seven worlds, 38 to 39, the material and spiritual worlds, 40, the 14 planetary systems, 40 to 41, the three planetary systems, 42, right? So you hear the 14 planetary systems are the three worlds, Burbhuvasva, Yeah. Right? The seven worlds means on Bhumandala itself that you have seven aspects. Right? And how all of them are to be seen in relation to that great universal form of the Supreme Personality of God. It has to be seen in relationship with the Lord. Srila Prabhupada writes, there are 14 spheres of planetary systems within the universe. The lower systems are called Bhurloka. The middle systems are called Bhuvarloka. And the higher planetary systems up to Brahmaloka, the highest planetary system of the universe, are called Svargaloka. Right, that's when you're dividing into three. Right? But when you're dividing it not, then Svarga is its own place, and then Satya is then... You understand? So Satya can be Maharjanatapa and Satya. Though specifically its own place. But those ones are connected there. So depending on your perspective of how you're relating. All of them are situated on the body of the Lord. In other words, no one within the universe is without a relationship with the Lord. So it's not a matter of if you recognize it or not, you have it anyway. You have it anyway. Footnote 28. The planets arrayed upon the body of the Lord are divided thus, according to the Bhagavatam's description of the qualities of the inhabitants. Adho lokas, builda swarga. By Asura Lokas, Atal, Vital, Sutal, Mahatal, Rasatal, and Talatal. We're the seventh, right?
Eight.
Eight? So which one is missing here? Because you have Atal, Vital, Sutal, Mahatal, Rasatal, and Talatal.
Patal.
Oh, okay. Patal. Okay, so it's not considered.
It should be there. I think it should be like that.
Yeah, because these are considered Bildaswarg, where they, in other words, the absorption is why it's hellish. I mean, so we consider lower planets because there's not any interest in God consciousness, really. But at the same time, those not interested in God consciousness, they demand more facility. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, so therefore it's like that.
Why is that hellish? What's the connection?
You know, guy in his suit with his briefcase and his MBA, traveling first class, staying in the 5-star hotel. You know, and he's not interested in God consciousness. He's just out to do his you know, business in the corporation and make money. You know, is he going to be inspired if he has to stay in 3-star hotels?
No.
You know, what if he goes, you know, economy? You understand? They demand more because, you know, they're materialistic. They want better. You know, I'm saying the demigods would like better, but it just comes with the job, right? But the demons demand it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the difference. Yes.
When we were talking about the facilities, whatever, we're not uncomfortable.
Yes.
Where demands coming in? It's demonic.
Because they're not worried about being comfortable means not being uncomfortable. They're talking about comfortable means, you know, living it up. Yes.
What if the same example was a devotee? Would that make it worse?
Means there's, you have to throw into it also the nature in that. We're just talking about the generic. It's just like, yeah. It means a pious person, he has what he has and he's comfortable with that. He's satisfied. But the impious person is not satisfied. Doesn't matter how much you have, you want more. Is that what you're saying? So the difference is you have those who are willing to follow rules to get more and those who are not. So those who are willing to follow rules, then they will get more. Right? So that's why we see is that even those on these lower planets, they're following the Vedic culture. Like Bali Maharaj was on Sutala. But he was performing this great yajna. You know, it wasn't just a small time thing. You had the four priests and a Brahmin. So that's very big. Right? And so then Vamanadeva went there for that. And as a Brahmin, he's respected, given a position, given charity. Right? And then when, you know, whatever he's given, then Bali Maharaj is keeping his promise, because he's a Kshatriya. You don't not keep your promise. So how many people on this planet do you find are that pious? Hmm. But they're using that piety purely for material gain. It's not like you throw in willingness to connect it to the Lord. So the devotee, even if they are having a lot of material desire, they're willing to connect it to the Lord at some point in the line. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, that's the element that purifies. Because if you see what you're doing in connection to the Lord, it's not. It doesn't matter how big or small you're doing it. You know, Yudhishthira's an emperor of the world. Right? There was one kingdom when all the kingdoms went down at independence in India. One king, I think he had 9,000 acres, was the whole kingdom. You know, not that big. You know, not, I mean, it's not small, but it's like, you know, there are people that have estates bigger than that. You know, but that was his kingdom. You know, so it would have been a place, a few villages, and this and that, and so. You know, so the whole point is that range is there. It's just a matter of what is, by what, performing one's duties, what result returns one gets. Someone does a small endeavor, one gets, you know, great results, then fine. Someone else does the same endeavor, they get small results. Is it?
There's a commentary in the 5th canto of Dhamma from Acharya stating that you get to these Adho Lokas by performance of Varnashram Dharma without connection to Krishna.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So if you follow Varnashram without its connection to the Lord, that's called Asurat Varnashram, so you end up on these planets. You follow Varnashram in connection with the Lord, then if it's really to please the Lord, then you go up to these higher ones. And if you do it purely to please Krishna, then you go back to Godhead. Mm. Right? That's why it said the neophyte, if he's not careful, if the neophyte's not situated that his determination is pure devotional service, then he'll end up in these next planets here. The Madhya Lokas, Martya Loka and Deva Swarga Lokas, Bur Lokas, Swarloka, Swarga Loka, Mahar Loka. And then Urdhva Lokas, Muni Lokas, Jana, Tapa and Satya. Right, so here, the Mahar is where the Prajapatis are situated. So they're above the others, the humans and the demigods, but they're below those who are engaged in the great austerity.
What's the earthly planets?
Abur. Madhyaloka, the first one? Martyaloka, that's us. Martya means dead, or dies, right? You know, so we're the walking dead. Right? And then Deva Swarga Lokas, that's Sava, Swarga, and Mahar.
Interesting. Why they say that this is the
Martyaloka?
Everybody else is also dying.
It's just a matter of time frame. You know, everybody's dying, but you know, when you live the length of the universe, then generally most people don't think about that. You know? But like that. So it's all based. In other words, the shastra is all geared towards the human. That's why then the years and everything generally are always according to human years. Mm. Or sometimes because the numbers are so great, hard to deal with, then you use the celestial years. Mm. But the effect everybody is you live 100 years. That's all. Yeah. A way of dividing the triloka, three worlds, which is often seen in scripture, is exemplified by text 20 of the third ray of light, Hari Bhakti Ratne Prakash by Srila Raghava Das Goswami. The planets where we reside are known as Burloka. The planets above us, reaching up to the sun planet, are known as Bhuvar. The planets above Bhuvar, reading to Dhruvaloka, are called Swarga. Because you're also dealing with Bhuvar, meaning what's in between, so that's what's above and below, but it's not Swarga itself. Right? So, Bilaswarg and these ones in between, which are up to the sun planet. So that's where all the yakshas, rakshasas, charanas, vidyaharas, gandharvas, all they're more powerful than humans, but they're not actually up to the demigod level. Mm-hmm. So they're also part of Bhuvar. Right? Does that make sense? So Bhur means earth. Bhuvar means what's above it and below it. It means what's below it and what's above it up to the sun. And then what's above the sun, then that's Swarga. Okay. Does that make sense?
So the hierarchy is not just geographical, but it's more like consciousness?
Yes, so Bhuvar means that they're following the Vedic elements, but it's not necessarily the element of God consciousness is important. But you don't definitely become a Rakshasa because you're God conscious. You know what I'm saying? But because they have mystic power, they're powerful like this, it's because you follow Vedic culture, right? You know, as we mentioned, when Ghatotkacha understood that one of, I think what it was, is a cousin, was interested in marrying this one girl who was from Dwarka. And Krishna was interested in the marriage going that way, but Balaram wasn't. Then Ghatotkacha arranged that he went and kidnapped the girl from there and brought her back so that, you know, the boy and girl could be married. You know, because the girl was interested, but, you know, she's going to follow what the family arranges. And so it is said that when they got there, then he arranged the wedding with his Brahmins. So what does that mean? No. What does it mean? A Rakshasa has Brahmins? It means it's just like, can you think back and say, yes, you know, we performed all the family samskars, we had our Brahmins.
No.
Right?
Elevated.
Yeah, so in other words, it's an elevated position. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that they follow the Vedic culture. They have gurus, they have, you know, the whole thing. They do all these things. But there's no interest in God consciousness. That's why it's called Asurik Varnashram, right? So, Swarga means Daiva Varnashram, right? You followed in relationship with the Lord. Asurik Varnashram means you didn't. So that's the Bhuvar, right? And the Bhur means that place where you can make the choice. Follow Vedic culture, remain in human life, and either do it connected to the Lord, go to the heavenly planets, don't, and go to the Bhuvar. Or don't follow it and end up in all the variety of, you know, animal life. I mean, you know, the universe needs animals, so it's not, you know.
Plenty of open positions.
Yeah, there's plenty of open positions. Does that make sense? So it's a very, very simple what's there. Yes.
From Swarga up is for Krishna?
It means that it's in relationship to, it may not mean that driving force is Krishna, but still, that means that, like, we can see, okay, Indra, okay, in the pastime of the Govardhan Leela, what was he worried about?
His yajna,
his position, right? But as soon as he was reawoken to his natural position, then what kind of prayers did he offer?
Thanks to Krishna.
Right? Do we hear that the other demigods are nudging each other and go, wow, where did he get all that stuff? I've never heard him talk like that before. It's like, you know what I'm saying? In other words, they all know about Krishna. They all have that understanding. Right? Why did Yayati fall from the heavenly planets? So Yayati fell because Indra asked him, is there anyone more has done more pious activities than you? And he said, no, I've done the most, because even he did, what he did was amazing. That's why people talk about it. But he was proud of it, so Indra threw him out of heaven. So in other words, you've done all that, but you can't be proud of it. So there is that element of piety. Why did Narad Muni, in his, you know, two births back, get, you know, cursed to become a son of a maidservant?
Pride.
Right. Because they're as a Gandharva, they're doing Hari Nam, right? And then, you know, he's just trying to impress the ladies. And so the demigods noticed this and said, you don't belong here. And so they cursed them to become, you understand? So that's the whole thing. It has to be, according to this, and it has to be, there has to be some connection with the Lord. But it's neophyte. Because Madhyamas don't go there. They come here. They take birth in the family of devotees. So that's a different thing.
Yes.
Mahaloka Tanaloka is part of Svargaloka, beyond the Svargaloka.
Yeah. It means it's all part of the Svarga. It means it's just depending on how you're dividing it. You know, if you're just looking at the lower, middle, and upper, so then just straight, then you just divide it, the first seven, then, you know, what is it, 8 through, 11, and then 12, 13, 14. So you divide it like that. If you're looking at Burbhuvaswa, right, then you're looking at, does that make sense? If you're looking at lower, middle, and higher, you do it like we just said. If you're looking at Burbhuvaswa, then it's Bur is the earth, Bhuvar is above and below. And then what's above, that's Svarga.
It's above sun, it's hard.
Yeah. That includes Indra's planets and everything. So the Svarga, Mahar, Janatapa, and Satya, those will all be. Burloka is here. But Svaloka and, you know, all these others, Atal, Vital, Sutal, Mahatal, Rasatal, Patal, Svaloka, and the other rings of Bhuvar, those are all, how you say, Bhuvar. So it's dividing it that way. One is just in geographic, and the other is by how they're positioned and how they follow. Hmm. You know, or they're in the Tathasta position. Okay. In the beginning of this chapter, so all these are considered, that these are given just in relationship to the Lord. So how they're placed on the form of the Lord, what aspects they have, everything like that. In the beginning of this chapter, Narada asked his father Brahma several questions. Below are the specific answers to Narada's principal question and his three sub-questions. Ergo, these are also the answers to Maharaj Pariksit's three questions of the previous chapter. Because remember, Maharaj Pariksit asks questions, and then Sukadeva Goswami is going to answer that, but he's going to bring it to the story where Narada Muni asks these questions. Because then it's fully presented and discussed. The specific answer to Narada's principal question, please tell me that transcendental knowledge which specifically directs one to the truth of the individual soul and the supersoul, one, is found in verse 17. Inspired by him only, I discover what is already created by him, Narayana, under his vision as the all-pervading supersoul, and I am created by him only. So inspired by him, under his vision, then I discover what's already been created by him. Right? So now, where is Brahma? Brahma, at this point, he's saying, what is he talking about?
Sarga Visarga.
Yeah, so he's talking about, he's discovering in Sarga what then he creates in Visarga. So he's inspired by the Lord to be able, through the Lord's vision, to see Sarga. That's what we're calling the Virat, the universal form. Right? Does that make sense? But we're not looking at it in the impersonal way. We're looking at it and how the Lord creates. We're looking at it as Sarga.
Yes.
Right? But that's how the Lord pervades everything. Like that. But we're not looking at it to try to get adjusted with the personal concept. We already appreciate that. We're looking at it so we can understand how the Lord pervades everything and how to connect everything. Because if we're supposed to connect everything back to the Lord exclusively, so everything being the Lord, then we know how everything connects. In this verse, Brahma reveals that his transcendental realization is inspired by the Supersoul. The truth is that Brahma is created and the Lord is the creator. The specific answer to Narada's first sub-question, please describe factually the symptoms of this manifest world. What is its background? How is it created? How is it conserved? Right? Means background, because you have to know why would it be. You know, just that it's here, why would it be there? Right? What's its creation? How is it maintained? Most people don't ask about that.
Yeah.
But you find generally, like successful people, they will come in. Others, oh, it's so nice and this and that. Others look at it and see how big it is and what's there and what work it would take to do that. It says, how do you maintain?
Yeah.
Like that. Very different question.
Yeah.
So here, as you see, the intelligence, then, how is it maintained? Right? Mm-hmm. And under whose control is all this being done? And to maintain it, means it's created, someone does that, but to maintain it, you have to control it. So there must be someone running it, and there must be the maintenance of it. So that's two. It's found in verse 18. The Supreme Lord is pure spiritual form, transcendental to all material qualities. Yet, for the sake of the creation of the material world and its maintenance and annihilation, he accepts, through his external energy, the material modes of nature called goodness, passion, ignorance. So he is beyond, but he's accepted this. So therefore, and so the sin is, it functions by the modes of nature. That's how we can understand everything here is what modes it's working with. That's how you define something. Right? That's why Gita spends so many chapters defining the modes of nature, so that you know how to put it together.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then what's the common ground? All those questions, but they want to know all of them.
I think it's what it means here is that, because this is a sub question of this.
Mm-hmm.
Please tell me the transcendental knowledge which specifically directs one to the truth of the individual soul and the super soul.
And that's what they want.
Yeah. So that's what's desired here with this. But to do that, then how does all this relate to that? If it's just myself and the Lord, why is there this creation? How is this working? Is that what I'm saying? In other words, there must be a reason for this, because I'm not necessarily involved in getting God conscious. I don't see God in everything. So why is this all here? How do I, because in other words, I become entangled by this. So therefore, if I know how it's created, I know how to turn it around. Does that make sense? You know, you have something, and if you take it apart, you can figure out how it's made. It's always easier if you see how it's put together, and then you can see how it, and then you know, taking it apart, and you know it both ways.
Could I go back a little and ask one question about the seven planetary systems instead of the 14 or the three?
The seven.
Yeah, there were seven worlds, and that refers to this.
That refers to Boer.
Oh, Boer, not just Earth.
That's the seven, is Boer.
Okay, so.
We're one part of. Boer. We're part of Boer.
So I was wondering, does that refer to the continents?
No.
Okay.
That refers to the islands.
Saptadvipa.
Where the seven continents are on one dvipa.
Oh. Okay.
That's the dvipa we can see.
Okay.
But the earthly region goes beyond to six other. Even of our one, we're only seeing part of it.
Okay.
The one we're on, because it means the salt ocean is 80,000 miles. We're not seeing 80,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're only dealing with, 25 if you just go around. So even if you want to take that way, you're still missing part of it.
800,000 miles.
Huh?
800,000 miles.
Oh, it's 800,000.
It's 100,000
yards. Oh, it's 100,000 yards. Okay, so it's a bit bigger. Right? So we're only seeing part of it. You know, just like how much does a bug see sitting on a table? Right. So that's the whole point.
Just the sugar.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Okay. Brahma states that the symptoms of the manifest world are three: goodness, passion, and ignorance. Their fundament is the pure spiritual form of the Lord. The creation, maintenance, and destruction of the world are the natural result of his acceptance of the material modes as his energy. Right? So that's how it's maintained, that's how it's created, and then under whose control? His control also includes destruction. Right? And so, and that goes back, its basis, its fundament is the pure spiritual form of the Lord. Specific answer top, Narada's second sub-question. Specific answer top, Narada's second sub-question. Yes.
I'm expecting that's meant to be two, but there's also another
specific answer. Oh, the specific answer to the second of Narada, no, but it says second sub-question. So does that mean a specific answer to Narada's to, it means still connected with this first question, but this is the second sub question.
Yes. This is, he's giving the second sub question here.
Okay. But the top.
Keyboard, stuck on the keyboard.
Huh?
George Marge used to have a keyboard that would often get stuck with a P.
Oh, I see. So, specific answer to Narda's second sub question.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was easy. So if he puts this top, you know, does that mean the top of the page? And he's like, oh, okay.
It's not the top nard.
Yeah, the top nard. Yeah. Okay. My dear father, what is the source of your knowledge? Under whose protection are you standing? And under whom are you working? What is your real position? Do you alone create all entities with material elements by your personal energy? The answers are provided in verses 11, 12, and 14. I create after the Lord's creation by his personal effulgence, known as the Brahma Jyoti. Right? So it's the power of the Brahma Jyoti. It's his effulgence that pervades everything, because what something created, what's the point? If you have a dravya, what's the point of it? But in using it means
connecting to Krishna.
Why would you use it?
Serve Krishna.
To get something out of it.
No, okay, but I'm saying the mechanics of it. Why would I to get a result? Okay. So the result, right, that's the masculine principle. The dravya and its, you can say, the means the particular form of the dravya and the work that it can do to produce the result, that's the feminine. At the same time, the existence of the dravya, that's the masculine.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But all that's generic. That's Brahman.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? Because we take Brahman as some other esoteric thing. No, that's what Brahman is.
Yes.
Brahman is just the generic qualities and the forms and activities, generic, that go with those qualities that manifest them. So Brahman means they're not manifest. It's just the principle of it.
Sarga?
Sarga is all done. You're dealing with Brahman.
Hmm.
And so he's using Brahman because it's still the same power. Why is that pillar there? All Brahma's added the bricks. But the point is that element that with earth, you could put this together and it would have that power to stand. That's in the primary creation. So you're using the knowledge from the primary and then using the Brahman, applying it into the secondary. This is my sound. Yeah.
The way that Bisarga rests on Sarga, Sarga rests on Brahman.
Yeah, so you could even say Sarga is Brahman.
Okay.
Because it's generic. That's why thousands of heads, thousands of arms.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? It means all these unlimited qualities are there. But when then it becomes localized, that's Paramatma. When it becomes specific to the personality, that's Bhagavan.
Mm.
Mm. That sense? Yeah. So in other words, all we're ever dealing with is Krishna. But we will always relate it back because we've been taught that way.
Mm.
Because that's how the resonance of the spiritual world works. Mm. So whatever they see, it's Krishna, and then it reminds them of Krishna the person. In other words, the elements of Brahman and Paramatma become Udipan for remembering the Lord. Yeah. Top of 56. I create after the Lord's creation by his personal effulgence, known as the Brahma Jyoti, right? Because it has all qualities, so that means everything that you're creating will have the potencies of those qualities.
Yes.
Because that's the masculine principle. All dravya has a quality in which it has a purpose.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that quality, that's the masculine aspect of the Brahman.
Yes.
Now, and then what is the form and activity that will manifest that? That's the feminine. Right?
Yes.
So now, since there's many ways to do one thing, that means the variety comes in the feminine, not in the masculine.
Yes.
That makes sense. So one thing may have, you know, so many ways it can be done. So that means all those various forms are connected with that, and then you have combinations of those qualities, and then forms that come from that. Does that make sense? And then proportions of those combinations. So that means you end up in the feminine with unlimited, right? At the same time as the qualities that you're basing it on are also unlimited. But the visesha, or the uniqueness of the feminine, is the variety. Does that make sense? Yeah?
Yes.
So that's what he's using to create.
Yes.
Just as when the sun manifests its fire, the moon, the firmament, the influential planets, and the twinkling stars also manifest their brightness. Right? So it's not that it's separate. It's all from them. Right? And the sun gets its power from the Brahma Jyoti. The effulgence, the brightness of the Brahma Jyoti, that's the effulgence. It means the sun is just partially representing that.
Does it mean that
Brahma Jyoti is self-effulgent? Yes, because Krishna is self-effulgent. So his effulgence will naturally be. But its basis is Krishna.
Yeah.
But it itself, because Krishna always exists, therefore his effulgence will always exist.
Right.
You know, it's not like you have to worry that, you know, about all these dwarf, whatever
dwarfs.
It is.
Hmm? White dwarfs?
No, the ones that go black and then the light goes out, and then they...
Red ball?
Black hole? Black hole?
I don't know. Just at some point, the sun... They say that the sun goes out, and then you know, and then it starts
black
sucking dwarf. In everything. And
they call it black dwarf.
Black dwarf. Okay. Yeah, so then it goes into that. Because it goes out, and then it implodes, and then because it implodes, it sucks everything around it into it.
Black hole?
Yeah, then you get those. So, you know, it's all kinds of... They have strange theories. So you don't have to work, because Krishna's always there, the effulgence is always there. So you can say that it's his energy, but at the same time it's the Lord. Because it has both the masculine and feminine principle.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So the sunlight is the Brahma Jyoti itself, or manifestation of material manifestation of Brahma Jyoti?
Its power is coming from Brahma Jyoti. Is that a problem?
Means it's a manifestation of the power of Brahma Jyoti.
Yeah. The brightness of Brahma Jyoti is a partial representation. So in other words, outside the universe, it's very bright outside.
Mm-hmm.
There's no need of... That's why it says no need of sun, moon, or electricity, because everything is effulgent. You have a sun just so you could create the elements of, have an excuse for day and night. Right? Because day you work, night you don't. Right? But it's not that you require the sun to see, like here. Brahma says in this verse that his knowledge and creative power emanated from the Lord as his personal effulgence. I offer my obeisances and meditate upon Lord Krishna, Vasudeva, the personality of Godhead, whose inconceivable potency influences them, the less intelligent class of men, to call me the Supreme Controller. Brahma pronounces the person deluded who cannot see beyond the demigod of creation to the Supreme Lord, who is the real supreme controller. Brahma works under his protection only. So it means those who don't know about the transcendental, then they don't understand that whatever is going, functioning is based on Krishna. So they think that they are doing it themselves. Right?
Yes.
Like that. But actually it comes from Krishna. Yes. The five elementary ingredients of creation, the interaction thereof, set up by eternal time, and the intuition of nature of the individual living beings, are all differentiated parts and parcels of the personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. And in truth, there is no other value in them. So whatever's there, its only value is its connection to the Lord. So that's the whole point of the knowledge. Its value of knowing it or dealing with it is only because of its connection with the Lord. If we don't see the soul in connection with the Lord, what's the point of the soul? We don't see the material elements or time. What's the point? Right. In this verse, Brahma declares that the energy, elements, and conditioned identities of the living beings within the creation are parts and parcels of the one Lord.
These parentheses, is that what this one is?
It would just be paraphrasing so that you understand from this question. Mm-hmm. What is the source of your knowledge? Under whose protection are you standing? And under whom are you working? What is your real position? You alone create all entities with material elements by your personal energy. So he's saying here that his knowledge and creative potency come from the Lord, as is Brahma Jyoti, is that he is simply working under the protection of the Lord, and foolish persons, they think that he's the one doing it, when actually it's all these other elements are there. And those elements only have their value because of their connection with the Lord. They're not connected to the scene in that way, they don't have any meaning. Specific answer to Narada's third sub-question. Yet we are moved to wonder about the existence of someone more powerful than you when we think of your great austerities in perfect discipline. Although your good self is so powerful in the matter of creation. Are found in verses 20 and 21. Specific answers to the third sub-question. Okay. Oh, Brahman and Narada, the superseer, the transcendent Lord, is beyond the perception of material senses of the living entities because of the above-mentioned three modes of nature. But he is the controller of everyone, including me. So they're talking about, because you can't see him, so he's, intuition, he's saying there must be someone more. Right? There's someone else there. So now Brahma is pointing out that yes, that's the Supreme Lord. He's the one. Brahma says the modes of nature cover the spiritual perception of the living entities. The transcendental Supreme Lord, who is the real controller of all living entities, including Brahma, himself exists beyond those modes. The Lord, who is the controller of all energies, thus creates by his own potency eternal time, the fate of all living entities and their particular nature for which they were created, and he again merges them independently. So he's doing all that. So here this gets rid of the problem that he's created it and then it got out of hand and now he can't control it anymore. No, he still is in full control. And he's still doing that by his independent, not that he's created, now he's dependent upon the material energy. He adds here that as the demigod of creation, he has no independence. For the only independent one is the Supreme Lord. Right? Because he mentioned here, are you, independently doing?
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
And that's separate. Okay. Chapter 6, Purusha Shukta confirmed. Pratigya, one should perform sacrifice for the pleasure of the Lord. The Pratigya, solemn statement of purpose of this chapter entitled Purusha Shukta Confirmed, is nicely expressed in the paragraph from Srila Prabhupada's purport to verse 28. Note that with these words of comment on the prayer of Brahma in this chapter of Bhagavatam, His Divine Grace could just as well purport the Purushottama hymn of the Rig Veda. Brahma, the original living being within the material world, taught us the way of sacrifice. The word sacrifice suggests dedication of one's own interests for the satisfaction of a second person. That is the way of all activities. It means that's actually how they should be done. But even the modern society, it will be based on this principle, is that we have to sacrifice our interest for the satisfaction of others. Otherwise, how do we cooperate and work together to have, you know, a civilization? Civilization means it's based on sacrifice. But the difficulty comes is that in the modern, you might sort of say in the material, this sense of sacrifice is simply actually for oneself. Right? Because it's like this. I'm taking part, but I expect others to reciprocate that. Right? And if I analyze it, it's only because they're taking part, I will commit myself to it. I will commit myself to an idea. What does truth mean? Right?
What works?
Okay, that's there. Means that aspect. Why is the modern culture so, or contemporary culture, so worried about truth? What does truth produce? Facts. And then what does that do? Why would I be interested in facts, right? Did we care in junior high and high school about facts?
No.
That's all they were giving us, was facts. You know?
You can get a result.
You can get a result? Okay. How many people look at it that way? You know what I mean? You're talking about a very narrow percentage here. Basically 2%. Okay, so what does it do? The idea of truth, what does that mean? If I don't know, lack of truth means, what? If there's no truth, what does that mean?
It means we are cheated.
Cheated, okay. But we are cheated, and then, but even before the cheating element, what is our position?
Insecure,
because I don't know what's going on around me. So the whole concept of truth is actually just for my own security.
Yeah.
It's not that it's about truth, because truth is what's reality. What's the difference between matter and spirit? How the modes of nature work, how the laws of nature work. That's truth. You know, and how all that's connected to the Lord. That's actual truth. But we're talking about truth meaning facts, so there's not something that I don't know. Because if I don't know, I'm insecure. So therefore, everyone must be truthful.
It's not also permanent of quality.
That's another thing. No, but we're talking about, and the contemporary society, that's why they're worried about truth. You know, I say CNN is worried about the rabbinical quality. Oprah is worried about truth. And he said, you know, what's going on?
Nothing is true.
No, that's yes. So, but the point is that why is people worried about it?
Security.
I mean, that's there and everywhere, but that's especially, you can say it's overemphasized in the contemporary society, especially when the truth they're talking about isn't actual truth.
You want to hear something nice?
Yes. Now, and then the thing is then we have to cooperate together to get that. Right? That creates. So therefore, and by cooperating together, who benefits?
Everybody.
Everybody benefits, but who are you really worried about? What happens if you're performing sacrifice, everybody's benefiting, but you're not?
Then it's not fun.
There
anymore.
May not be a continuation. You know what I'm saying? It's very, means, in other words, if they're performing sacrifice, everyone else is benefiting, and they're not, and they're doing that consistently. Generally, they're canonized.
Yes.
No?
Yes.
Like that. You don't think of it other than that. And how many people have been canonized? Right? What, a few hundred or something? Some hundreds. You know, that's about it. Canonized means that created means that they're made a saint.
Yeah.
Like Mother Teresa was, you know, recently canonized. You know, so that means. That's slightly different from the 600 guys on horses. They were also canonized. It kind of worked out a bit differently for them. You know? I mean, they're remembered. You know, that people still talk about them. Like that, you know, good sense of duty, you know, respect of authority. You know. willing to make an effort. So, therefore, people are performing sacrifice because what they get for it. And so when I say about, yes, everyone should cooperate, where's my focus?
Then I get the benefit.
I get the benefit. So who should be cooperating?
Everybody else.
Everybody else. I will also take part. It's an ideal. I will commit myself to this. But I'm committing myself to the ideal that everybody is working for the greater benefit.
Justice.
You understand? And so, therefore, if it's not being done, right? So therefore, then the person has to admit it and feel bad, because then there's a sense of justice. I'm right. I have my rights. Do we see a connection? You know, this is very much the social fabric in the contemporary society. So we see it's not based actually on higher principle. Of course, the quality of cooperation and benefit and sacrifice, these terms are all Krishna's higher qualities. But because it's not being seen in connection with the Lord, therefore the benefit is, the consciousness level is still only pranamaya. You see all that, and the reason that people are looking for truth is because security, because Krishna's truth, Krishna's security. Even if we say it's facts, but Krishna is the dravya.
Yes.
So that's, we're seeing it from Anandamoy. And we're getting that Anandamoy benefit, but the people we're observing, they're only seeing it from pranamoy. And they're only getting the benefit of pranamoy. So we don't have a problem that those qualities are there. We can explain it in their natural state. But if it's not seen in connection to the Lord, the consciousness is lower. So, yes.
So then, connected to the previous discussion, we can say this is demoniac, because right means I can demand.
Yes.
And then people demanding, and this is demoniac mentality.
Yes. Because Krishna mentions, the only time that I can think of where Krishna actually talks about rights, because he says you have a right to perform your duty.
Yes.
He doesn't say you have a right to, you know, whatever you feel like.
Yes.
You have a right to rights. No, you have a right to perform your duty. People can't say you can't do your duty. You know what I'm saying? Like that. You know, he says we may not do it here, you may do it somewhere else, but they can't. A grihastha does something wrong. Okay, can now the community say you're no longer a grihastha? No, you have it right. It's your duty. You're situated in that. That's your duty. They can't take that away from you.
Same with sannyas.
Same with any of the ashrams, any of the varnas. No one has the right to take them away. But modern society, being Shankara, loves to do that. But they have no right. There's no position. Right? Prabhupada never did it. You know, it's like, so that's the thing, you have the right to perform your duty. But if people don't like it, you don't have to do it around here. You can go somewhere else and do it. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just the sense of control. That I'm in control, therefore I can control them, then what will it produce for me? Again, security. So it's still pranamoy. So it never goes beyond pranamoy, because the sense of duty and that someone should be doing duty, that's manamoy, that's the varnashram system. So consciousness has to be to that level socially to perform, to manifest that level of social system. Right? But we're doing it as on the platform of anandamoy, but it's still, you have to be able to relate to it. And if you can't, it's always coming down to these isms, that's pranamoy. And the weakness is pranamoy, people don't even know the philosophy of it. So much of the time it's just anamoy. And just when they get together in a meeting, then you bring out all these lofty ideals. They call them lofty ideals. Lofty means pranamoy, extended sense gratification, is lofty compared to the position that most people function from.
Yes. Right?
So, you know, so that's the thing, that society is so proud. You know, the contemporary society is so proud of its position, but it's actually quite low. Means, in comparison, means yes, the pranamoy is above the animal propensity, But it's not that it's removed from it. Human starts at manamaya. Right? Then, maturity in human starts at vijnanamaya, because now you're looking at the position of the soul. Right? Otherwise, Ruhugana, Maharaj Ruhugana, now you're not going to get a more maturely qualified person than him. Right? And being a Kshatriya, he's situated as Dharma in that, but he's not recognizing the soul. Therefore, he's called immature.
Yes.
So that's the whole thing, right? So in other words, you're still a child, even though if you haven't gotten the plant for the soul, but a pious child. Then you have below that is not so pious, so speculatively pious. And then you drop down to anamoy, then you just have a brat.
Can we say that Vedically speaking, anything below manamoy is actually subhuman?
It is subhuman. But the point is from there you can still move up. Therefore, examples are always given of someone on that platform and not nicely on that platform. They don't talk about necessarily. I mean, you do have the story about the cobbler. Okay, it's a skilled trade, but of skilled trades, it's not considered. It means. What's the term? It means the occupation. What is its term?
Unskilled labor.
No, it's a skilled.
Oh.
It means that in the culture they're called muchi. Mm-hmm. So you're dealing with people's shoes. It's not. Means the cobbler may make shoes, but he repairs shoes. So what does that mean? He only repairs new, unused shoes? No, he repairs whatever people have been using. So therefore, you become unclean. You have to take a bath after doing your job. Right? So it's not, you would say, unless you're, Louboutin, then okay. Then you kind of have a position. But other than him, then most cobblers don't have a position.
Mm-hmm.
No?
Yes.
Right? Okay. So then, then you have examples of like Dasaratnakar. Actual just dacoits. Mm-hmm. Not thieves. Dacoits, because thievery is bad, but it's not one of the major things. Dacoitry, that's one of the things the king has to make sure it's not in the kingdom. Thieves you should get rid of. But worse than thieves are dacoits, because dacoits will cause physical harm to steal. A thief just takes the stuff. You know what I'm saying? In other words, the thief, when you're not looking, steals your bag and runs off. The dacoit comes up and hits you over the head, then steals your bag. Yeah, so it's worth, because it's not only is there the loss of possessions, then there's physical harm, which is much, you can't, that's stealing more, right? You're stealing, does that make sense?
Yes.
So this element of sacrifice here, satisfaction of the second person, so it has to be, you have to take it all the way back that it's satisfying the Lord. So then dealing with others is fine, that the sacrifice and the Vaishnavas and all living entities are benefiting, but it must be seen in connection with the Lord. Otherwise, that sacrifice will fall within these lower levels of consciousness. Okay. The word sacrifice suggests dedication of one's own interests for satisfaction of a second person. That is the way of all activities. Every man is engaged in sacrificing his interests for others, either in the form of family, society, community, country, or the entire human society. But perfection of such sacrifices is obtained when they are performed for the sake of the Supreme Person, the Lord, because the Lord is the proprietor of everything, because the Lord is the friend of all living creatures, and because he is the maintainer of the performer of sacrifice, as well as the supplier of all the ingredients of sacrifices. It is he only and no one else who should be satisfied with all sacrifice. So, we perform the sacrifice, but that there is a sacrifice that gives a result, that's coming from the Lord. That there are ingredients to perform it, that we have the skills to do it, right? That inclination or inspiration to be involved in that. That it produces results. But that should all go to the Lord, because it's all coming from Him. And here is then we may say, is okay, well, that's kind of like, you know, just businessy, but he's the friend. Right? He's come as Paramatma. He's sitting in everyone's heart. Right? So while one's performing all this, he's coming along. That's in, Brahma mentioned that Krishna, as Super Soul, then inspired him in the creation. So, Purusha Shukta means the original sacrifice. Right? Means within the universe, you're going to get, all means everything has already been established in the Mahatattva. But now you have to actually create what are all the various elements that will be of the combination that these modes will take, and their operation or the purpose and results. So that's the primary creation. That's in this aspect. So that's what the Purusha Shukta is talking about. Yes.
So this original sacrifice was performed by Brahma?
No, this is performed before Brahma.
Oh, before Brahma?
This is performed, there is nobody. There is only the Supreme Lord and his eternal associates.
Oh, oh.
So, therefore, it means the duty as the super soul of the universe, then this is being done, but actually, as Bhagavan, he's there with his associates. So, the associates perform this original sacrifice to please the Lord, but there's nothing to sacrifice because all sacrifices require ingredients. That means there has to be a creation, but there is no creation.
Yes.
So the only thing there is the Lord. Mm. So the sages use the Lord for the sacrifice. And that's why then the universal form is that everything is coming from the Lord. So all elements that you can create in the universe, all activities, all results, right, is all the Lord, because it's only made out of Him. Mm-hmm. Like that. So He's the one in the sacrifice. Because here we have ingredients, like we pour ghee into the fire, and we do like that. That's the sacrifice. But there is nothing, there's only the Lord. So therefore, from Him comes the blueprint of everything in the universe. Right? That's the Purusha Shukta. So we see it's actually about the element of sacrifice. So the creation is about sacrifice. How to connect everything to the Lord, how to always do everything in connection with the Lord. Right? So how to dedicate one's own interest for the satisfaction of a second person. So the second person is the Lord. And then everybody else is connected with Him. Then there's meaning to sacrificing so that others get benefit because you're seeing the connection with the Lord.
The second creation, Ruma, when he got the vision to see the primary creation, he also saw Purusha Shukta as a sacrifice and followed it.
Yes. So that's why everything comes from Purusha Shukta. The Veda expands from Purusha Shukta. So that means
it was recited there. Because it was recited there?
No, because it's always there. So that's just how it works. That's how it manifests. So the whole thing is always there, but when it manifests here, it manifests in this order. So you have Om, so that means there's the Lord, the living entity, and His energies, right? That expands into Bhuvu Vaswa, which is then all, means whatever is there in the universe. That expands as the Brahma Gayatri, the Brahma Gayatri, which then explains the activities of these three, Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Right? Because what's the meaning of the three worlds if it's not the element of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana? Right? Because even those are based off of that. Right? Then you're going to have the Purusha Shukta, right, which then is explaining how everything is based on sacrifice and everything comes from the Lord. So all sacrifices are connected to the Lord, and so they're based on the Lord, they're performed with the Lord's potency, and the results are coming by the Lord's potency, and they should be offered to the Lord. Does that make sense? But that's the whole basis of this whole study of the universal form and of creation. Right, so that's the particular. And therefore, once you perform sacrifice for the pleasure of the Lord. Right? So this is just giving the technical on why. Because we'll say, once you do that, why? Because everything's made of Him. It's all coming from Him. Its whole purpose of manifesting is this. Right? So we have that relationship. So we should function within that relationship. How to do that? By connecting everything to the Lord. Yes.
In performance of sacrifice, everything is the Lord, all the ingredients,
yes,
and everything. Then the only thing we can add is our move.
Yes, is that we can add the devotion. So that's the whole thing. You can perform this sacrifice with all these good qualities without that mood, and that will be called pious. So that will elevate you in your material situation.
It won't please the Lord.
But it won't please the Lord. At least you're following the rules, so you create a nice environment for it. But not doing that to please the Lord, that's actually the point. So in other words, pleasing the Lord is the purpose of life. Right? The purpose of an individual. So now, but that pleasure is the attitude. Because technically, how do you please someone who is everything? So it's actually the affection that is pleasing. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like the child. Are they adding a lot to the family, right?
Yes.
In the way of facilities and stuff like that. I mean, just think of it this way. You never had diapers before the kid came along, right? So they are adding a lot to the whole household scene, right? And
they add a lot of expenses.
Yeah, so in other words, that. But the point is which if you're looking at it in investment and profit, then the amount that you invest in taking care of the child in the way of money and time and everything, but that interaction on the platform of affection is greater. So, why would that be? Because that's how it works with the Lord. You know, because all these other things to him is not important. He is unlimited energy, so it's not, you know, as many diapers as required to do, so that's not a problem. In fact, all diapers in the universe are produced from his potency anyway. So. Well, that's a lot of diapers, right? So then where does this go? Right? Where does this go? So the point is it's the affection. So you're performing the activity. Right? So now the son grows up, he makes money and, you know, sees that, you know, money's put into the account but doesn't interact with the family. It's still not worthwhile. But at least, you know, he's doing something and benefiting the family. You know, at least he's doing something for the family, even though he's not. But more important would be he's interacting. Right? Now, if he's just a pleasant, nice guy but does nothing, it's okay. Right? But better he does something. Why? Because then that's the show of affection. That's how you know that real affection is there, is that he's doing something to help in the mood. So that's why we take part in the Lord's pastimes by performing the duties. Because what does Mother Jashoda do? Just every day it's something different, you know.
Cooking.
Yeah. Yeah, she cooks for Krishna, sees that he has his bath, you know, sees that the arrangements are nice. So everything with Krishna's living arrangements are all nicely taken care of, you know? And then the nice mood, the nice support, all these things. So she performs her duties. But it's actually in the reverse. The natural mood of affection of Mother Jashoda, then it's expressed through these activities. So for her, they're not duties. These are the way she expresses. That's the difference between Gokul and Goloka. Goloka is... These are the duties, basically become the acknowledged way of expressing. While here it's just the feeling. She's doing, in other words, she does her duties because of feeling. Vaikuntha, they do the duties because that's what you should do. Both are based on love, but it's just a different approach. And we can see is one is less than the other. That's why the spontaneous platform. So it's not about performing your duties, it's about performing your duties to please Krishna. So now to be able to think of Krishna and please Krishna, is that That is that the first day on the job, or is that when you're very good at it? You understand? That's why Vaidhi is there, practice is there, become good, because what's the point of becoming good is so that not because of the results you get for yourself, is because then I can express nicely the affection. Right? That's the whole thing. So that's what we're pointing at. So you can see here, then the real point that is being made here is about that surrender in that position of the residence of grudge. So that's what Purushaship is about. But it's doing it, it's presenting it in this, you know, through the Vedic words and grammar and everything like that. But it includes everything from there on down, because everything is a reflection of there, an expansion of there. So that's the whole point. Is that the Vedic things, that's why the Acharyas have no problem in taking Vedic verses from Upanishads and the Vedas and using them to establish the you know, worship of Radha and Krishna. Because that's all it's talking about anyway. Okay. Does that make sense? You know, it means you have the you know, in the entertainment field in music, okay? The crooner, what's he talking about?
The croonie.
Okay, yes. Okay. Now you have the rap guy. What's he talking about?
The
rappy, right? You understand? The same thing. It's just the medium that they're using. Right? Yes.
Who was the sages there doing the sacrifice before Lord Brahma?
The Lord's associates.
Yeah. Or spiritual world.
Yes. Because you're dealing with the spiritual world there when you're dealing with the Lord. The Lord is only interacting with his internal potency, so he's only he is the spiritual world. So that's why this whole thing of spiritual world has to be over there. It can't be here. So we can't come from here. We have to come from there, and we get all bent out of shape out of all this kind of stuff. And we don't want to be from Mahavishnu, because that would be a prestige issue, you know. You understand? So we're dealing with a lot of mundane kind of things here. Where the Lord is, that's the spiritual world. And this is all hid, so we don't see it as that way. Prabhupada called it the kingdom of God. Material means you don't see it that way. Oh no, wait, we've got some of this.
Huh?
Oh, I looked at it when it went up like that.
Mystical watch.
We need a good thing. Is it there? And then they rung the bell. Normally they ring the bell at 9. Then I thought I was, you know, gone all the time. Okay, cool. Okay, Adhyaya Prakashika. Okay, yes. So now this word has a footnote.
Yes.
Okay. The Adhyaya Prakashika here is somewhat longer than normal for reasons already explained in the same sections of the study guides for chapter 3 and 4. 5. Just in other words, there's so much there and so much pulling together that it's more of a, rather than just giving a basic overview, it kind of gives the skeleton. In other words, when you're dealing with the technical things that you need to hang on, then it's bigger. Okay. In the 6th chapter, the speech and other elements arising from the universal form's limbs and the 3/4 and 1/4 powers are described. The triquadrantal and the uniquadrantal. See, yeah, now you know. What does it mean, 3/4? 3/4. Cheesecake. The Purushasukta hymn is composed of Vedic mantras that are to be sung in glorification of the Mahapurusha and his Virat Rupa. In chapter 6 of Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 2, Brahmadev recites prayers in confirmation of the fact that the Purushasukta hymn addresses the great Purusha Mahavishnu together with the two latter Purusha forms non-different from him, Garbhadaksha Vishnu and Paramatma, Kirudaksha Vishnu, and the Virat expansion of their divine energy. Because their expansion of the Lord, in other words, that's the expansion in the Vishnu line, the same time is because we have these other aspects. So we're dealing with Mahat, so you're dealing with the external energy. Mm-hmm. So therefore you have that aspect of Shiva involved. Right? And you have the glance that separates everything, but then you also have this sacrifice of which the elements, the prototypes of everything is being established. Right? Mm-hmm. So all that's being done. So that goes from the Virat Purush up to, you know, then through all these other elements and up to the Lord himself. Mm-hmm. So that everything that we've discussed up to now about Mahavishnu, his expansion of being the incarnation from Baladeva, or from Krishna, then, and that whole aspect of his pastime in now Garbhadaksha and Kiruvdaksha, and the manifestation of the Virat Rup, this is all then described by the Purusha Shukta. Mm. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why up to now, so we can see all that at once, then it works nicely. That's on the fan. You know. So that means everything is cyclical.
Yes.
Not linear. The bird is back. Okay. In other words, Brahma confirms herewith his declaration, Narayana Para Veda, from the previous chapter. The Vedic hymns are meant to glorify Lord Narayana only, because they're only about him. Yeah. So they're glorifying the Sambandha aspect, the Abhideya aspect, and the Prayojana aspect. Right? So depending upon which position you're taking, different aspects and details will come out. Mm. Yeah. He begins by, quote, filling in the connecting dots, end quote, between the Virat's display of archetypical, macrocosmic sense organs and the microcosmic senses of the living entities in the universe. Right? So that's the thing. So it's therefore the connecting of the dots is an ancient pastime. You know, so that means what next time you see the little kid and they got the little thing and they're sitting there connecting the dots and all that, you say, oh, just like Lord Brahma. Hello. Yeah. But not 30.
You just have to make sure he has no forehead.
Yeah. Yeah, and then as you say that, then he turns, and then you see all the heads. And then he turns back, and then he's back to normal. Okay. I don't think I'll tell that to my wife.
No.
Give that one a miss. At least not my mother-in-law. That the material body of each conditioned soul in creation replicates in a small way the sensory faculties of the cosmic form of the Lord will be clearly pointed out by Srila Prabhupada in a purport from an up-and-coming chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam 288 purport, in which he states, in the creation of the material world, the Supreme Lord undoubtedly assumes a gigantic body, and living entities also get bodies, big or small, according to necessity. So it's just another point of just everything's coming from the Lord. Everything's connected. So it only functions because it's connected to the Lord. Do we catch what's going on with all this? Is that the whole point is there is no such thing as there's this and then there's other things. This, that means the Lord. This means what we're able to perceive. There is not that there's different realities as options. There's variety within material options, and then there's the spiritual. And all the varieties within the material are still connected and coming from the Lord and functioning because of their connection to the Lord. Yes. Right? So does that make sense? So there technically is no other opinion other than Vedanta. So that means Vedanta is objective. All other views are subjective. Right? So that means Vedanta is chit. All other views are achit, because they deal with the material. Right?
Yes.
So there's cause and there's effect. There's the Lord, and then there's the effect of his energy, the manifestation.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So there isn't some other opinion. There is only this. People have opinions, Do you want opinions? You go down to the insane asylum. Do you get opinions there?
Yes.
Is there a good variety of opinions there?
Mm.
Right? You know, so you're coming up with some, you know, very, you know, everybody's, means if you go to this place, everybody's not Napoleon. Right? Mm-hmm. You know, so all the different things and what's there and their perspective reality, but we call them nuts.
Yes.
Right? So from the Vedic perspective, if you're seeing according to Vedanta, then it's okay. If you're not, technically you're nuts.
Yes.
But now it's just a matter of how clinical you are. Does that make sense? You know, is it workable?
Yeah.
You know, or not. So that's the whole thing. Yes. So one can't be opposed to the Vedic position. The point is there is absolute. That's the way it is. Yes.
So saying there's one opinion, people get out of shape and...
Yeah, so you don't discuss that much. But I'm saying is, to create the clarity, you don't present it like that. But you can present, and you know, that you don't use those terms. In other words, these are buzzwords. You know, if you go back some hundreds of years, it's not a buzzword. To say there's only God and there's only His, you know, it means, you know, whatever it is, you know. You go over, you know, next to the mountain there, it's always a mountain, right? You know, Muhammad's there, and he's got, you know, the one birth, the one way, like this. You know, Jesus is the one thing. You know, Moses is on. It's one. So there's not a problem, and people don't have a problem with it. It's just in the contemporary society, then they get all this way because they're insecure, because they're not following a religion, so they're not actually getting the benefits from that, and so that creates all the insecurity. So then they're trying to get it by artificial methods. But so you don't have to state it that way. The point is you can say whatever you want, but material energy is there, it's more powerful than us, and it carries out things the way it does. Say what you want, the mortality rate's been 100%. No matter who they are, big or small, no matter what they've tried, you know, every attempt at immortality has failed, and it's not a matter, one day we'll be successful. Generally, you wouldn't call that scientific. How many times does a guy try the science experiment? And if he gets no results, they generally drop it. There's a leeway there. Not that unlimited living entities for unlimited time have all died, and now we're says, no, but we'll come up with a solution. That means that they're not seeing from the right perspective. So all we're saying is that there is an absolute truth. Now, to get to know this absolute truth, then there has to be the understanding there is something superior. Starting from that only, that little bit, then we can gradually go through and explain the rest of it. Right? And the point is that within the absolute, there's variety. So it's not that everybody is all boring and all exactly the same. Right? It's not San Francisco. Right? So, you know, the spiritual world has the... Tiki-taki?
I don't know San Francisco.
It has some pretty colorful personalities in San Francisco, no?
That's there, but the tiki-taki all looks the same. You know tiki-taki? You don't know tiki-taki.
Never been to California.
Right. So, that means north of there or east of there?
Ohio, almost to Canada.
Ohio.
Okay. A little more piety. Prabhupada said, Bengal is east, and the farther west you go, the more degraded it becomes. So, yeah. Ohio is more pious than California.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, but New York's farther east than that. You know, the funny thing, just thinking about it, is that South America is east of North America. So technically, they can't really call themselves West.
Yeah.
Okay. I may be using that.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good one.
Okay. So then, yeah, that ends here. So then we'll continue at that point. So that's the whole point, is that there's the Lord's opinion. That is the opinion. right?
Yes.
There's various ways you can view that opinion. That's the different sages. But we choose to view according to the opinion of Narada as the Muni.
Mm.
Right? So we're coming in that line.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? So then that's the point. But you can get all the variety of opinions, but it's not what we're not so interested.
You fall in this line because of Narada Pancharatra. Is that the line?
But no, it's just Narada Muni is in our line. He's the Muni of Bhakti. Right? So therefore then everybody, these the Vaishnavas all follow his perspective of that. And at the same time also because he's the, you could say, the author of, or at least the protector of the Pancharatric tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So then all the Vaishnavas use the Pancharatric tradition. So those who reject it, then they're technically not our line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we use Pancharatra. That's our lifestyle. That's our form of rules and regulations. Right? So it is the essence of the Vedas. So it's Vedic. But it just means that which is defined specifically to worship Vishnu. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's preferred. Rather than just the generic Vedic lifestyle. But where they're common, that's what we do.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samavita Bhaktivinda ki jai, Nitai Gaurapinda. So then that would put basically Rio as the farthest place east in the Americas.
Yes.
So then that would basically mean they're the most pious people in the Americas.
That's interesting. They have these colors.
I'm saying pious of the Americas. Of I didn't say, okay. Say of the world.
No, no, no. Context. Context.
Yes, yes, yes. Sorry? Tiki Taki. Tiki Taki is row housing. You know the houses of the salt.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That's all that San Francisco is.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I was told that San Francisco is one of the only cities in the United States that's actually constructed a bit like an old kind of town with a city center and then growing up from there.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a few. It's like New York has the park in the middle. There's not many. Also, Toronto has a huge amount of land in the middle, a huge park area. Yeah, not most don't think about these things.
Mm. United States are more into city planning, isn't it?
DC was planned fully. Yeah. There was just a tract of empty land, and they planned the city, and then so it's a little bit more organized.
And in Europe, it's more like, okay, you have like 4th year to project from those guys, and then 50 years later, it's those guys that are coming, and then they build something there, and the city kind of expands like that.
Like that, and just means the city expands where the common people are. So in other words, you have the fort, and then you have where everybody lives, and that just kind of goes. And so the common person doesn't worry so much about structure.
Mm, exactly.
And that's why the common person, it means just by karma, remains that way, because if you don't structure the streets and everything, you don't get wealth. You know, so all these curvy streets and all that are not good. It means you go into neighborhoods where everything's a straight line, so it's a prosperous.
Hmm.
And where the curves are is generally where it's not.